Yeah, so we have everybody here, and whenever you're ready, you may start.
Okay, so we will call the hearing on the variance 2020-17-N as a Nancy to order, October 7th, 2020, 9:30 a.m. I'd like all the witnesses to raise their right hand. You all need to take an oath, including district staff, and then I'll go through and make sure get confirmation from each individually. So if you'll each raise your right hand, those that are going to testify, do you solemnly swear or affirm under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And we'll run through. Tim, could you state your affiliation and you don't need to raise your hand.
Tim Mitro, air quality engineer with the district. And yes, I do agree with the oath.
Amy?
Sorry, I was just checking to make sure I wasn't on mute. I affirm with the oath and I am with the district.
Okay, Bart?
Yes, my name is Bart Leininger. I'm with ALG. I'm a consultant assisting CAP on this matter. And yes, I do affirm the oath.
I'm just running through the video as I see folks lined up. David Harris?
Yeah, David Harris here with the APCD Engineering Division, and yes, I affirm the oath.
Eric?
Yes, Eric Kett, District Compliance Supervisor, I affirm.
And Julio?
Julio Corona, California Asphalt Production Operations Manager, and I do agree with the oath.
And I don't know, Maria or Paul, are either of you going to offer a testimony?
No, Maria Novat, County Council. I'm here as attorney for the board.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any questions? I'm here. I would also like if you could just to clarify the record, this is a one panel hearing, and Mr. Saperstein, you're the one, you are the hearing officer for this matter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we'll have a combination of Bart and Julio provide your summary of your request, if you would please.
Yes, so basically, you know, I understand that, you know, California Asphalt Production was required to submit a fence line air monitoring plan that was due by August 21st. Obviously, CAP was, you know, ongoing with a definitely abnormal time during that time frame for the submission. We had multiple people, including myself, out for COVID, and obviously we were in the situation where we were at. Now, obviously, we're requesting a petition for a variance to obtain enforcement relief from Rule 364. Down that the petition request has been submitted, you know, we wanted to get a little bit additional time to get this plan finalized and submitted, which many of you guys' team members already received the fence line monitoring plan yesterday, as well with an attachment of the copy of the check for the review fee.
And Bart, do you, or is it your intention to go through the details of the petition?
I am. I will be happy to do that for you. As Julio requested, is that we're seeking variance relief, a 90-day variance. And I think that the petition asked for a variance between the date of filing, which was September the 11th, 2020, through October 15th for this 90-day variance. As we have satisfied the requirements of Rule 364, it may be that we can shorten the time frame to today or yesterday as to when the plan is. As Julio mentioned at the end of his testimony, that the facility is now in compliance with the requirements of Rule 364, and that it needed to submit the fence line monitoring plan and a check. As a matter of reference, the Rule 364 is the fence line monitoring rule that the district passed earlier this year. In that particular rule, it required submittal of a fence line monitoring plan, as well as a check for the review of the plan itself. The petitioner is in violation of Rule 364, provisions D1 and H1A of the rule, because it did not submit the plan on a timely basis as per the requirements of the rule. The rule itself had no provision to request an extension. Even though California Asphalt made a request to the district was unable to approve an extension for the extenuating circumstances, which I'll get into in a moment. And therefore, we are filing for enforcement relief under the district's variance program so that we would have sufficient time in which to submit submit the plan as well as the check that's due for the review of that plan. We believe that the petitioner in this case it's beyond the reasonable control to comply with this just because of the unusual circumstance surrounding variance itself. In terms of timeline is concerned here, the rule itself was passed in May of this year. California Asphalt Production solicited proposals from various vendors one specific vendor for the preparation of the plan and participation in the program. And once the cost was evaluated and looked at, the facility decided that it needed to take a different course of action in which to be able to comply with this plan, and that the facility engaged its own engineering staff to review and to work on the plan. Their engineering staff is located in, I believe, China. Is that correct, Julio?
Correct.
And they were engaged to do this. And because of the COVID situation, many of the staff were impacted during that time period. And there were weeks and weeks where no one could actually work on the plan. The plan requires a certain level of design done as part of it so that a good plan can be submitted to the district in terms of where to locate these monitors. So because of the COVID situation, they got set back in terms of their preparation of the plan. And it was just impossible for them to submit a credible document to the district by August 21st. Just because of the extenuating circumstances, the number of staff that were impacted by COVID, it made it difficult for them to be able to complete the design work and to be able to submit the plan, which was completed again yesterday and submitted to the Air District. There really is this, the situation with this plan is there really is no corresponding air quality benefit for reducing air contaminant emissions due to the plan. The rule itself specifies when the specific compliance dates need to be addressed. This is simply a plan, so there are no excess emissions relative to this. As far as the petitioner having it, for the variance has considered curtailing the operations in lieu of obtaining a variance. Again, the plan isn't really connected to the operation of the facility. It's a rule requirement to do monitoring at the fence line. So there is no nexus between the two. Nevertheless, I mean, the facility took it seriously that they needed to comply with these requirements and submit the plan. They considered the curtailment of operations, but in this particular case, curtailment would not resolve the violation that's described in the petition. Finally, while the variance is in effect, there are no excess emissions because it's an administrative requirement that needs to be satisfied. And the plan itself, again, was submitted yesterday along with the check. So the facility is now, we deem, in compliance with the requirements of 364. For the submission of the plan. That is my presentation of the petition itself and the way in which we believe California Asphalt complies with the 6 findings under the Health and Safety Code. Both Mr. Corona and I are available to answer any questions that you might have, Mr. Sackers.
Just quick question before going to staff. What were the costs that you were looking to avoid that caused that additional interim delay?
The cost, that's a great, that's an excellent question. The cost in, is the commitment to this particular program. The program itself is projected into the district staff report to cost in the hundreds of thousands of dollars per year to comply. And that the management within California Asphalt, once they saw the bid to actually comply with this, decided they needed to investigate in utilizing their own internal resources for some of the engineering evaluation of the system that they would install. So it's unfortunate that the facility has to comply with this rule given its size, because the same equipment being installed at California Asphalt would be the same equipment that would be installed at a much larger integrated refinery in the Bay Area or in the South Coast AQMD. So they were captured under this particular rule. I think what was a little surprising to them as well is that the South Coast Air Quality Management District did write into their rule an exemption from fence line monitoring for smaller refineries, those that produce less than 40,000 barrels per day or process less than 40,000 barrels per day of crude oil. I think that the management within California Asphalt were surprised that they didn't have the exemption, but it was clear to them that the district was very clear that there would be no exemption in their rule. So again, this is a small refinery that was doing what it could to comply with this rule, the substantive requirements of this rule in a cost-effective way, and they thought that they could avoid some of the engineering costs and design costs by using their own internal resources to do this rather than venture out to an outside engineering and consulting firm to do the work.
And now that the plan's been submitted, what's your cost estimate for implementation? Have you saved some money?
Cost estimate to save money or cost estimate to comply?
No, I'm sorry. So if the volume didn't come through well, what is the new cost estimate to implement the plan? Have you saved some money?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know the exact cost estimate. I still think it's, I believe when we looked at it before, it was in the range of several hundred thousand to $500,000 to comply with this monitoring program. The costs that were in the district staff report, which Mr. Mitro is familiar with, were pretty close to what the estimates that we saw when we went outside to look for the cost to implement the program. So this is several hundred thousand dollars for a very, very small facility in Santa Maria.
And what you said, the South Coast AQMD has that 40,000 barrel a day threshold. What are you guys processing in a normal day?
Yeah, so go ahead, Julio.
So I'll answer that, Bart. Thank you. So right now, currently the refinery, is permitted to run at about 10,000 barrels a day. Right now we're running at less than a quarter of that. So wow. our when we do run, we're at, if anything, maybe 2,500 barrels a day. So we're like a quarter of what we used to produce historically. So it is an impact, obviously, like we said, the amount of money versus before to the new quotes that we've gone now. I mean, it's a savings. It's a very big saving, but nevertheless, it's an expensive, obviously, installation.
Is your reduced operation now because of the general overall reduced activity in the community or something else impacting you?
It's just how can I say it? It's just the environment. I mean, everything has to do with it. The sales. I mean, the local economy has a an impact. The crude oil prices as well. All these dips. I mean, it affects all the industry throughout, especially the refinery at the end side of product producing the asphalt.
Great. Okay, Amy or Tim or Frank? I'll come back. Why don't we go to staff? I'll come back for questions at the end. Amy or Tim, which of you are going to take the lead for staff?
I don't have anything to add right now. Tim, do you, or Dave, do you, either of you have anything to add?
Nothing to add, no.
And staff's position is supportive of the variance request?
yes, we do support the request.
Okay. So Frank, you had questions?
Yes. May I direct this to Mr. Mitro?
Please.
Regarding the cost of the fence line air monitoring, the implementation, is it your understanding that this would be in the hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Yes. So we identified all of the initial costs in the staff report based off of estimates from the South Coast Air Quality Management District. And we tried to break that down into the initial cost to design the fence line monitoring plan, to purchase the equipment, and then to actually install and set up the equipment and perform the data dissemination to the public afterwards.
Just for my own edification, I always imagined or understood that a typical like AQMD caliber air quality monitoring unit was on the order of $50,000. Do I need to update my estimate?
Well, it depends on what pollutants you're monitoring for. Part of also in the staff report is some information regarding a stationary community air monitoring system that has pollutants such as sulfur dioxide and hydrogen sulfide, and it does have the costs in there for the specific analyzers. So it is dependent on how many pollutants you want to monitor for.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions, comments from folks?
I actually have a question. Upon approval, do you guys see any challenges of implementing the system, the monitoring system, within the timeline provided by the rule?
No, not according to our engineer department. We do not foresee any roadblocks or any situation that'll prevent us from completing the installation on time. I think the main thing, like we said, you know, is obviously the cost of everything, you know, pre-ordering everything to get here on time. I think once we set up schedules and basically the date, the goal of the date, the due date, I think we'll find ourselves within compliance at that point. We should be okay. I don't foresee anything else. And again, you know, we've been a refinery here, you know, 34 years in history. And obviously, you know, we've never had any, you know, real issues with the public or any health related issues. So this monitoring, obviously it's really pricey again, and it's just, you know, obviously something that we got to do now, but definitely it's a good amount of money that we have to invest.
Any other questions or comments from folks? I don't see any. So we need to run through the, excuse me, the six findings as the regular variance. The first finding is that the petition for variance is or will be in violation of section 41701 or any other rule, regulation, or order of the district. And we've already gone through that. The late submission is a violation. Finding two, that due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of petitioner, required compliance would result in either a arbitrary unreasonable taking or a practical closing or elimination. The variance simply allows the extension of time for administrative compliance with submission of the required proposed plan. There would be an unreasonable taking if we required shutdown of the facility for that administrative type of submission. Finding three, that the closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. Again, failure to provide the variance wouldn't result one way or the other in reducing air contaminants. Only a shutdown would reduce air contaminants. And I suppose we ought to address that question. I'm assuming that the result of not allowing the variance as a financial penalty, not a shutdown of the facility. Amy or Tim, is that correct?
So it, this is just, it's an administrative, that's an administrative requirement. And so there is no benefit. There's no air contamination occurring as a result of not having the plan. So it's just an administrative requirement. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
Yeah, and again, this is really just for the record. I mean, if I chose not to approve the variance, the consequence is a financial penalty on the permittee. It's not a shutdown of the facility, correct?
Correct.
Okay, finding four, petitioner for the variance is given consideration to curtailing operations of the source in lieu of obtaining a variance. And again, it's an administrative plan issue, not a air quality compliance issue in the strict terms. Finding five, during the period of the variance is in effect, petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. Again, it, really not an issue with this variance request. Finding six, during the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will monitor or otherwise quantify emission levels from the source if requested to do so and report those emission levels to the district. And again, the variance is not requesting a relief from some pollution requirement. It's the administrative deadline that they failed to meet. Any other comments or questions from folks? No? Before I approve the variance, I just had a question. Let me switch over there. Had a question on actually the term of the variance. The period is September 11th through October 15th. And so September 11th is the date on which the plan was originally to be submitted, is that correct?
Amy, would you like me to answer that question?
Go ahead.
Okay, the plan was actually due on August the 21st. The facility chose to send a letter asking for administrative leave from staff, and the staff responded by the end of August, indicating that they did not have the authority to approve an extension. And therefore presented to California Asphalt the option to file for a variance. That variance petition was filed on September the 11th. And based on discussions that we had with the district is that the earliest that we could ask for variance relief would be the date the petition was actually filed with the Air District. So that's, I think that's the reason of the difference of the start date. And then the ending date was at the time the petition was filed, we felt we could complete the work before October the 15th. And we ended up completing it by yesterday, October the 6th. Okay. Is that responsive to your question?
It is. And so the end date, October 15th, no problem. It's up to you and staff whether we want to adjust the data and the variance now that you've submitted. That's not a problem. I don't know if it's something to be concerned about that there's a gap then between August 21st and September 11th where there's a theoretical violation that the variance doesn't cover. And if staff's comfortable with that, then I'll leave it as is.
So I'll answer that. We can't backdate the petition. So the operator is then in violation from the date the plan was due, August 21st, until the date that the petition was received. So there'll be a violation, a notice of violation that goes out for that gap period. So they're requesting coverage from the September 11th through the 15th or the date compliance is achieved, which would have been yesterday. So they're just asking for that additional coverage.
Got it. So that's the best we can do in this setting. It's a district staff level decision whether there's some financial consequence for failing to submit the variance request before the deadline told in August. So that's the most we can do in this setting, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions or comments before I approve the variance? Okay. Lorraine, as we did before, I've forgotten now. Do you have my signature where you can put it on there electronically, or do I need to do that on my end?
I'll send you the final draft variance, I'm sorry, and then we'll get the electronic signature from the
Okay, terrific. So variance is approved. Maria, is there anything else you need from your end?
No, sir. All good.
Okay, I think that takes care of our business this morning. Thank you, everyone. And be healthy there at the facility.
Yeah, we're slowly getting back online, yeah. For sure. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Yep, not a problem. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye. Take care, everybody.
Bye, everybody.